Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. An Orion Pictures release. A young man's running through an indoor car park. He stops at a flash red sports car, takes out a metal lever and picks the lock. He opens the door and gets into the driver's seat. Suddenly, metal clamps spring out of the seat, caging his body, and forks of electricity zap through him.
Magnavolt, the final word in auto security. No embarrassing alarm noise, no need to trouble the police.
He opens the car door, and the would-be thief falls out, dead.
And it won't even run down your battery.
Magnavolt. Lethal response.
On the international scene, the Amazon nuclear power facility has blown its stack, irradiating the world's largest rainforest. Environmentalists call it a disaster.
But don't they always?
In national news, Attorney General Marcus today approved the ED-209 combat unit for deployment in five American cities, despite widespread complaints of malfunction.
The Surgeon General is dead, gunned down 20 minutes ago by a militant addict of the deadly designer drug Nuke.
The greatest health threat facing our nation.
He holds up a small vial.
Nuke. The most addictive narcotic in history. A plague that...
He's riddled with bullets. The assassins wrestled to the floor.
This station has just received the following transmission from Kane, convicted murderer and leader of the Nuke cult.
People want paradise. And they will have it.
The assassination is the latest act of terrorism by Kane, following the firebombing of a drug treatment clinic that left five dead last week.
Following the latest breakdown in negotiations, Detroit's police today returned to the picket line, demanding better terms from Omni Consumer Products, OCP, the corporation contracted by the city to run the Detroit Police Department.
OCP cut our salaries 40% and canceled our pensions, and now they refuse to even talk to us. God knows why, but they want this strike.
On a street at night, a junkie inserts a vial of red liquid Nuke into his neck. Nearby, a homeless woman feeds her baby a bottle of milk. Next to her, a drunk leans against a newspaper stand spray-painted with a swastika. An elderly homeless woman wanders past, pushing a shopping cart full of tin cans. A gang of motorcyclists roar past. The woman pushes her shopping cart into the middle of the street. A sports car races down the road and knocks it over. As the woman runs over to her cart, a man rushes over. The man rips away the woman's handbag, then ambles down the street, fishing out some money and jewels from her bag. Suddenly, two scantily dressed women attack him, one of them tripping him over, the other two ferociously kicking him. One of them kicks him in the groin, the other drives her heel into his face. They rob him, then walk away.
Look at this, what a nasty man. Night's May. Let's pay Papa and get us what we need. Nuke me, baby. He's out, let's run.
They run past a gun shop, which explodes.
You're shit with a timer, man.
Come on!
A car pulls up in front of the shop, then four men get out and charge inside.
Army with this shit! Let's load it up and get the hell out of here!
The gun shop owner's on the floor behind the counter, his face covered in cuts.
gunman!
Their drawer, bottom.
The robber looks in the drawer, while another robber takes machine guns off a wall rack. A third robber spots a rocket launcher and picks it up, while another loads a revolver.
I really like this gun, man.
I just take it and get out.
Thanks.
He shoots the shop owner.
I don't believe this!
What?
It's the cops, man! Cops are on strike, stupid! Can't you hear that?
They rush outside, one of them with a rocket launcher over his shoulder.
I'll fix him.
The robber fires the rocket launcher at the police car, blasting it across the street.
Did you see that? We got him!
Come on, man, let's move.
No, one more!
shit, man.
Fucking cops!
The robber fires another rocket, and the police car somersaults through the air in a cloud of smoke. All four robbers then fire machine guns at the car. It explodes in a ball of fire. The bullet-ridden door of the police car swings open. RoboCop steps out of the car, the flames gleaming off his armor-plated roboticized body. He extracts a gun from a compartment in his leg, his upper face concealed by a steel visor. A robber shoots at him, the bullets bouncing off RoboCop's chest. RoboCop fires back, wasting the hoodlum with two shots in the chest. He blows away a second robber, then a third.
Peace, officer. Take it over, creep.
RoboCop shoots the fourth robber in the arm, swivels his handgun, and places it back into his leg compartment. He looks into their car and picks up a packet of vials.
Nuke.
It's not mine, man!
Where is it made?
It's not mine, man! I told you, I'm clean! Ow!
He lifts the robber by his nose.
Where is it made?
I don't know, man! All I know is where I
get
it!
RoboCop stomps down a rubbish-strewn street, the walls sprayed with graffiti, homeless people wandering about. A stream of text appears on the view screen in his visor. Prime directives. 1. Serve the public trust. 2. Protect the innocent. 3. Uphold the law. RoboCop strides down the street, then comes to a stop. He looks at a pipe spewing smoke on the wall of a building. He strides towards the building, turns, and approaches a steel door with a slot at eye level. He knocks at the door. In a hallway, a man puts down his newspaper, picks up a shotgun, and goes over to the door. He peers through the slot. RoboCop's fist punches through the door, sending the man flying. Two men holding crates of canisters filled with red liquid go into a walk-in refrigerator. RoboCop shuts the door behind them and locks it. RoboCop approaches a door and looks through a glass panel to see a large laboratory where technicians are preparing vials of nuke from bubbling glass beakers. He looks at canisters of the liquid being loaded into crates on a table. On his view screen, a message flashes, "Crime in progress." He notices a man in a suit watching proceedings with a bored expression, and on RoboCop's view screen, the message, "Arrest mode," appears. On another table, people are putting small vials of nuke into easy-to-carry packets under the watchful gaze of Kane. A baby's crying in a small wooden cot. RoboCop caresses its head, then switches off the stereo.
Freeze. Nobody move. This is a bust.
Two men charge into the room and spray RoboCop with bullets. RoboCop fires back and everyone ducks under the tables. Kane dashes away while RoboCop mows down one of the gunmen. A woman grabs her baby. RoboCop blows away two more gunmen.
Ladies, stay down.
A gunman shoots RoboCop in his armor-plated back. RoboCop turns and sprays him with gunfire. The suited man's hiding in a room with a young boy, Hob, who darts away. Kane's hiding behind a cabinet with a woman, Angie. Kane lets off a fire extinguisher, filling the room with a cloud of gas. Kane, the suited man, and Angie stride through an exit and get into a limousine, where a woman pleads with Kane. Kane shoots her. They drive off. A police car skids round a corner, people fleeing out of its way. In the car, a young officer, Anne Lewis, looks towards the sound of gunfire. She heads into the building, her gun drawn. She opens the door and the two men charge out. She grabs one of them and the other fires his gun, riddling his companion with bullets. She shoots him dead. In the lab, someone's hiding under a table while RoboCop searches the room. RoboCop turns and points his gun to find himself looking at Hob holding a gun. A message on his view screen reads, "Target denied."
Can't shoot a kid, can you, fucker?
The boy shoots RoboCop, whose head recoils from the impact. Static flickers across his view screen along with the message, "Playback tracking error." A memory of a boy holding a baseball net, then the playback of Hob shooting him. A gunman's holding the baby. Lewis comes in.
Lewis? Hang it up.
Lewis holsters her weapon. On his view screen, a grid appears with the message, "Plot trajectory."
No shit from either one of you. And don't try to follow me.
We won't.
The baby's going with me.
No.
I'll kill it, man. I'll do it. I'll fucking kill it.
We can't have that.
He fires at a metal door, the bullet ricocheting and hitting the gunman. Lewis catches the baby as the gunman falls. Then the mother grabs it and runs off.
Nice shooting.
RoboCop stamps on a vial of nuke. The boy from RoboCop's flashback, Jimmy, rides his bike down a suburban street. RoboCop watches him from his parked patrol car. Jimmy rides onto his front lawn where his mum, Ellen, is checking the postbox. Ellen spots RoboCop and watches him with an uneasy expression as she puts a letter in the box. She heads into the house. RoboCop remembers Ellen smiling and flashing her leg from behind a wall. He remembers tickling her feet. He remembers kissing her in the bathroom. He looks at his reflection in the bathroom mirror, his chiseled features unmarred by robotic attachments. RoboCop drives past the house, Ellen watching from the window. In a lab filled with computers.
OCP defines you as a machine that utilizes some living tissue. You understand that?
Yes.
And so, do you consider yourself human? I require an answer. Stop tape. You have any idea what you're doing to that poor woman?
Take a look at her file.
Go on.
Officer, Mrs. Murphy is bringing suit against OCP. My name is Tom Delaney. I'm representing her. Up to a few months ago, she wouldn't leave her bedroom. Then there were the therapists and the hypnotists and the harmonic treatments.
And then you pull this shit, driving past her house day after day, spying on her, trying to make her think her husband is still alive.
She's barely started to accept the loss. You're ripping her to pieces.
And for what? Do you think you could ever be a husband to her? I mean, what can you offer her? Companionship? Love? A man's love?
A female technician looks down soberly. RoboCop looks thoughtful.
No.
Roll tape.
A man operates a video camera.
Are you Alex Murphy?
No.
Are you human?
No.
You are simply a machine.
I am a machine.
Nothing more.
Nothing more.
That'll do it. Stop tape. And you stay there. All right, go get her.
Let's be decent about this. Give them some privacy.
I don't have a problem with that.
The men stride out, leaving RoboCop alone with the technician. RoboCop sitting in a metal chair raised on a platform, surrounded by electronic gadgetry. The technician closes a mesh gate, caging RoboCop in one half of the room, then heads out. RoboCop notices Ellen come into the room, separated from him on the other side of the mesh fence. RoboCop stands up and walks towards her. They stare intently at each other.
Alex, don't you know me? Don't you remember me? Alex, it doesn't matter what they've done to you.
Touch me.
She puts her finger through the mesh and touches his lips.
It's cold.
They made this to honor him.
She shakes her head.
No. Your husband is dead. I don't know you.
He stomps away, leaving her looking distraught. RoboCop strides down the corridor of the police station. He looks through the window at Ellen going over to her car, her lawyer opening the door. Her lawyer puts a hand on her shoulder and Ellen sobs. RoboCop looks away.
I thought all communication systems were the same. I tried to save the company a few bucks. It took 2 days to download specs from Cleveland.
He scrunches some paper.
Lost the account.
He puts a gun to his head and shoots. The OCP logo and the slogan, Communications, the only choice. At the Omni Consumer Products building, two men stride into a large office.
It hardly befits the dignity of my office to have to come to you, Johnson.
My apologies for the slight inconvenience, Your Honor.
20 minutes in rush hour traffic isn't slight. Not when you're the mayor of a major American city.
All right, let's get to business. When are you going to stop paying the cops so they'll go back to work?
We're not a charity. The city owes us over $37 million.
Well, you'll have to cut us some slack.
A deadline's a deadline. Sorry.
How are we supposed to raise that kind of money with things the way they are?
You aren't.
What the hell is he talking about?
We don't expect you to pay.
Let me refer you to our contract. In the event of default, OCP shall have the uncontested right of foreclosure on all city assets.
You signed this.
So you're saying we missed one payment and you can foreclose?
We can and we will. We're taking Detroit private.
So you deliberately undermined our credit?
That was the easy part.
And you engineered the police strike. You want Detroit to tear itself apart so you can raid it like you would any other corporation? Do you know how many people are dying out there? You're murderers.
I'd advise you to say nothing further. It might be actionable.
It's bullshit! Bullshit, you senile old bastard!
All right, calm
down. Bullshit!
I think we better get out of here.
I'm okay.
Calm down. I think we better leave. Calm down.
I'm okay.
Easy, easy.
I'm okay.
All right, good.
I'm in control. Everything is fine. It's okay. I'm fine. One last thing, gentlemen. We will sue your asses.
Give it your best shot.
Fuck you! You old senile bastard! This is bullshit! Fuck you! It's bullshit!
In a corridor.
I've been very patient, Johnson. 5 months. Who's that?
Fax, Dr. Juliet Fax. Just been moved up to head the attitude adjustment team.
5 months. $90 million. I want to see some results.
Yes, sir. I'll show you what we have.
OCP pioneered sidewalk technology. And now we take a quantum leap forward. State-of-the-art destructive capabilities commanded by a unique combination of software and organic systems. In every way, an improvement over the original. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you RoboCop 2.
Johnson, his boss, and Dr. Fax watch the TV as RoboCop 2 appears through some sliding steel doors.
You are under arrest. Stop or I'll shoot.
RoboCop 2 shoots two of the doctors, then himself in the head.
OCP is proud to present the future of urban pacification. RoboCop 2.
On the TV, a more slender RoboCop comes through the doors, then pulls off its metal helmet, revealing a skeletal head beneath. It collapses to the floor. The boss covers his face with disappointment.
90 million.
They all go crazy.
Robots with emotional problems.
No, sir. Not robots. Cyborgs. Cybernetic organisms. We use living human tissue, and that's our whole problem, sir.
The candidates were all fine men, respected police officers. I reviewed their files myself.
Sir, police officers may not be the best candidates for our purposes. They're a physical bunch. They're macho, body proud, finding themselves stripped of all that. It's no wonder they become suicidal.
Our one success was a cop.
Well, yes, Mr. Johnson, Alex Murphy. Top of his class, devout Irish Catholic, family man. Everything in his profile indicates a fierce sense of duty. That's probably what kept him alive.
With all due respect, Dr. Fax, your area of expertise is psychology, not robotics.
There's no harm in hearing the young lady out, is there, Johnson?
No, sir.
Thank you, sir. I believe that Murphy's case was unusual, but not unique. We can find someone else, someone to whom the prospect might even be desirable.
I've never met anyone who wanted to be a robot.
Well, it would require a screening process, one I'd be happy to supervise. The cost would be negligible, and it'd be a shame to waste all the work that's been done, wouldn't it?
It certainly would, my dear. Go to it. Report to me directly.
Yes, sir.
You could learn a thing or two from that girl, Johnson.
RoboCop drives through a police protest march outside the police station. An officer kicks the car.
Hey! You
forget who you are.
One at a time.
Yes, don't hold. Don't
please.
One at a time.
RoboCop stomps through the crowded station.
It's the best we can do. Hello, ladies.
A cop dangles a key in front of prisoners.
They won't be fucking with any more cops. They won't be fucking with nobody, man.
The cop, Duffy, ducks into a stairwell and takes out a packet of nuke. He injects himself in the neck. He heads back into the hallway. RoboCop and Lewis are on the first floor of a derelict building, watching the street below. Hob rides on the back of a motorcycle and RoboCop identifies him with a playback on his view screen.
Hob. That's him.
They watch as Hob exchanges drugs and money with people lounging about on the steps outside a building. Hob goes into an arcade store.
There's plenty in this floor.
I've lost him.
Boy, you've been around here a while. This one's on me.
5 degrees south-southwest.
There's the little darling. Good eyes, Murphy.
Good as money can buy.
Freddy, you got out. Well, all's okay, okay?
A man standing near Hob injects himself with nuke. Hob goes over to another man whose back is to the window.
Something to give me this time, officer.
One cop per car. Okay, these are the routes. 3 cars.
One cop per car?
That's right.
Sit in, Doc. We set up 3 snipers, and that's all it takes.
Pay the man.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, you didn't count it.
That's all right.
You should really count it, you know.
It's okay.
Give him something to help him with his conscience.
A henchman offers Duffy a pack of nuke.
No, that's all right. I don't really want it.
Come on, Duffy. I know you need it.
Duffy considers. Hob smiles. Duffy snatches the nuke. RoboCop strides into the arcade where teenagers are milling about.
Isn't this a school day?
The teenagers throw snacks at RoboCop. Hob goes to investigate.
Shit.
Duffy desperately searches for a rear exit, but the doors are locked.
Oh no.
Hob's henchman peers through a door into the arcade, then darts through the crowd, lifting Hob over a railing. Hob and the henchmen run towards a staircase, then retreat as Lewis apprehends them at gunpoint.
Freeze! Turn around, put your hands up.
Hob aims a machine gun at her and Lewis kicks him against a wall. The teenagers in the arcade run screaming. The henchman attacks Lewis. Hob goes over to a railing and checks his machine gun, but the clip is empty. Lewis lays out the henchman, but Hob runs over and garrots her, Lewis managing to grip the wire with her fingers. Duffy makes his way through the empty arcade.
Officer Duffy, have a seat.
RoboCop sends Duffy sprawling while Hob gets on top of Lewis.
You look a little out of breath, bitch.
RoboCop stamps Duffy's chest.
You've sold us out, Officer Duffy.
What are you talking about, Murph?
Where is Cade?
I don't know any Cade. Oh. No.
Where is Cade?
I don't know.
Oh. RoboCop slings Duffy against an arcade machine, then grabs his hair and yanks back his head.
Where is Cade?
I told you I don't know.
RoboCop smashes Duffy's face against the arcade screen. Lewis staggers to her feet, Hob clinging to her back. She slams him against the wall and he falls off and runs away. The henchman flees.
Where?
River Rouge, the old sludge plant.
You're a rotten cop.
He throws Duffy across the room. RoboCop races down the street in his patrol car. The car charges through a barrier and races past a sign which reads, "Danger, do not enter. Police not available." RoboCop cruises past a series of huge warehouses and factories. The car races towards a sprawling plant in the distance. RoboCop drives up to some padlocked gates and surveys the area. Beyond the gate, there's a large, multi-leveled building. RoboCop marches over to the gate and pulls away the padlocked chain. He pushes open the gates, then goes back to his car. The suited man watches from an upper level in the building as RoboCop's car cruises into the compound. RoboCop's car explodes in a ball of flames. The suited man watches the burning wreckage, along with several other armed men. The suited man goes over to the charred wreckage and prods it with a stick. He looks around, then makes an okay gesture up at the building. Unharmed, RoboCop is hiding behind a hut next to the gates. RoboCop marches into the plant. He makes his way through a dilapidated factory area. The suited man watches from a staircase, then runs up to Hob.
Go.
As RoboCop strides through the plant, the men open fire. Bullets ricochet off his armor-plated body. RoboCop turns to see a picture of Mother Teresa on the wall, and below it, a large photograph of Elvis Presley. Next to this, there's a guitar and a glass coffin containing a skeleton dressed in a tattered suit, a photograph of Elvis next to it. There are other artifacts in the area, and RoboCop goes over to a large crystalline monument, examines it for a moment, then moves on. RoboCop turns a corner and finds himself face to face with Angie. As he advances towards her, she backs away. She runs off, then RoboCop spots Kane standing a short distance away.
You want me?
Dead or alive?
One of us must die.
Dead then.
RoboCop stomps towards him and aims his gun at him. Hobbs shoots off RoboCop's gun hand. Sparks fly from the severed limb. Angie fires a gun that shoots out a spiked ball attached to a cord that clamps itself to RoboCop's chest, electrifying him.
Jesus! Had days like this. Hounded and attacked like a criminal. But like him, I don't blame you.
They program you, and you do it.
I will kill you.
Well, you just tried. And I forgive you.
RoboCop tears off the device from his chest, then touches it to the tangle of circuitry sprouting from his severed wrist. A ribbon of electricity shoots back to Angie, sending her sprawling. RoboCop steps towards Kane, but a gigantic metal hook swings down from the ceiling and knocks RoboCop onto the floor. RoboCop's body springs up onto a magnetic disc attached to a chain from the ceiling, which then carries him across the room. Kane, Angie and Hob and the other gang members follow it over to a table comprised of metal rollers, where the magnetic disc deposits RoboCop. RoboCop's put in restraints, then the magnetic disc rises away. A man hammers RoboCop's body with a sledgehammer. Now the suited man's using a hammer and chisel.
Why'd you stop? You got it cracked.
I'm tired.
They say he's got a brain. I want to see it.
RoboCop's view screen is distorted with static as Kane looks down at him.
You think it was me that beat you?
It wasn't. It was this.
A vial of nuke. Kane injects it into his neck, then lets out a giggle. The suited man's using a pneumatic drill on RoboCop's body.
It's too tough!
Draw heater at the joint!
The suited man repositions the drill.
Yeah.
RoboCop's leg is thrown onto the floor, twitching.
Ha! Look at that!
A chainsaw cuts into RoboCop's midsection. Hob holds up some wires.
As it takes!
Brownish-red liquid drips onto RoboCop's face. Now a limousine pulls up near the police station and a man throws out RoboCop's body parts before speeding away.
What the hell's going on?
Hey, just look at him.
Christ, he's been stripped.
RoboCop's lying in pieces on the ground, his head twitching spasmically on his upper torso, the rest of his body scattered around him.
Let's not get carried away here. We're talking about a piece of equipment.
Don't tell me he can't suffer. Just look at it.
It's electrical.
Bullshit. I know every inch of him. Every circuit. Every living nerve. His pain centers are alive. They're lit up like Christmas trees.
Nah, the backup generator's just making him twitch.
He's suffering. How long can he last?
No way of knowing. Got him on minimal life support. Keeping the brain going with microshocks. It's damn tricky. Could be going any time.
Move! Move! What's happening in here?
OCP is happening. These bastards won't lift a finger to help him.
This unit needs millions of dollars in parts. You can't expect authorization for that kind of cash outlay overnight. Be reasonable.
If you don't fix him, it's murder.
Now settle down, honey. I'm doing you people a favor just by talking to you.
You son of a bitch. He's in hell.
The angry cops shuffle out of the lab. Duffy, the suited man, and Hob pull up in a limousine outside a disused hospital.
Oh, man, you guys are the greatest! Did you see their faces? We're gonna throw away the key, Duffy!
So, well, the cops didn't give you too much trouble, did they?
Usual shit and read. Yeah, they'll never prove anything. Hey, what's up?
Hey, I'm a minor. Don't want to break any laws.
Here, you take it. God, I just love you guys.
The suited man hits Duffy over the head. Now he's wheeling him on a stretcher.
What happened? Hey, where are we going? Hey, come on, guys. This isn't funny, man. Oh, God, my head.
My head's sort of killing me. Oh, hey, man. Hey, Kane. Hey, it's good to see you. Thanks for getting me out. I can't get up.
You noticed that one.
Look, Kane, I don't know what that kid told you.
You told them, Duffy. You told them where we were.
No, that's not true.
We know all about it, Duffy. You think you're the only cop we have?
Surgical equipment.
Oh, shit! Kane, come on. Man, I'm begging you, man. Look, I'll do anything. Okay, are you kidding, right? Yeah, you're just kidding. Oh, you're scaring me. Oh, you taught me a lesson. Man, I'd never fuck with you. Because I really love you guys. I really do.
Shut up.
Look, I've been loyal. I know shit that I still haven't even told you, Kane.
You deserve this, Duffy. Kane might have been killed.
Okay.
Well, maybe you ought to have the kid leave.
Why? What? We're gonna have the kid leave? That's a good touch. Have the kid leave. Have the kid leave. Why? Come on, it's over. Come on, Kane. Come on, man. What are you doing? No. Come on.
Using a scalpel, the man makes an incision in Duffy's chest. Kane watches with an intense expression.
You said you were just gonna scare him!
Doesn't he look scared?
Hobbs turning away, covering his face. Kane puts a hand on his neck and turns him around, forcing him to watch.
I can't believe you're even contemplating this!
It hardly matters what you believe, Mr. Shank.
But these are criminals. They're maniacs!
You're given to premature value judgments. Or it may be true. The subjects are socially misaligned.
Socially misaligned? These are death row inmates!
And of no use to society. Shank, we need a subject to welcome the power, the virtual immortality we offer. Now, I really think this is a good place to start looking.
You're out of your mind.
Is that your professional opinion?
Yes! God damn it, it is, yes! And you are not using my lab to put that kind of a brain into my cyborg!
We dearly miss you here.
The one that's gonna be out of a job. I'm gonna take this directly to Johnson. He's just been waiting for an excuse to get you fired.
Good morning, sir. I'm sorry to bother you this early.
You seem agitated.
Well, frankly, I'm shocked. Mr. Shank just called. It seems Dr. Fax has begun screening candidates for the RoboCop 2 project.
So I understand. It's very exciting.
She's screening psychotics, sir. Murderers.
Well, we aren't planning to build a toy, Johnson.
Fax knows what she's doing.
She's keeping RoboCop offline. It's a public relations disaster.
You've got to learn to look at the larger picture, the foreclosure. You must know how important that is to us.
Yes,
with
sir.
With RoboCop out of commission, the chaos down there will increase. And so will the odds that the city will fall into our hands.
Yes, sir. But a competent executive would find a way to deal with the corporate image problem.
Couldn't agree with you more, Mr. Johnson.
Fortunately, I have found a way.
Yes, Ms. Fax and I have already discussed it. I know you'll help to implement her ideas.
Of course, sir. Whatever I can do.
Anything else?
Coffee?
No, thank you.
Don't forget your shoes on the way out.
In the lab, the top half of RoboCop's body is attached to a drip-like device, wires trailing from his torso. A screen extends from his upper arm with a flashing message that reads, System failure, emergency. His eyelids are half open, showing the whites of his eyes. He blinks, then opens his eyes.
He's my patient. He's critical. I've got to stay with him.
We'll let you know when we need your services.
Nobody on your staff has my experience with him. You need me.
We don't need anybody.
We? Who the hell are we? You're a goddamn lawyer. You don't know anything about him.
You're exactly this far from getting fired, babe.
Shyster! He's one of mine. I want him back on his feet.
Well, maybe he will be, or maybe we'll just sell the parts for scrap. That's up to us. You see, RoboCop's off warranty.
Oh.
RoboCop's command program, his set of directives, it determines his behavior. It's time to update the program, and I would like to hear from each one of you. It's about time they asked us.
Well, we're getting a lot of heat, and I mean a lot of it from the parents' groups. And personally, I don't blame them. I'm a parent myself.
All that destructive behavior. He's become a role model for our children. Now, what are we teaching them?
You have a point.
If he just talked things out with people instead of firing that big gun of his.
Couldn't he take a little time to address environmental issues?
Excuse me, what was that?
He could speak out on environmental issues.
Don't see any reason why not.
For all the shooting he does, I've never once seen him take the time to do anything nice. Like visit an orphanage.
You're absolutely right. Or help a cat out of a tree, or go door to door collecting for the Red Cross, or maybe even roasting some marshmallows with some Cub Scouts.
Why, Mr. Johnson, that is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Dr. Flax peers closely at RoboCop.
It's no good. The program isn't uploading.
He's resisting.
There's too much data.
No, it's him. Leave him to me, Shank.
It's not going to work!
You're wasting valuable time. Don't resist us.
Let me up. I must go.
Go where? Do what? Go dancing, fall in love? What is it you think you are?
Alex Murphy.
That's a delusion. It's a glitch in your system. Alex Murphy is dead. You take away the plastic and metal and wires and you're just a couple of chunks on a coroner's table. You're not even a corpse. What are you? Respond.
I am Officer Alex Murphy, Detroit Police Department.
That won't do.
She taps on the computer keyboard, RoboCop's eyes moving from side to side in the visor.
What are you?
RoboCop. Crime Prevention Unit. OCP.
Better. Much better. I type it, you think it.
You type it, I think it.
What a wonderful opportunity you represent. In psychotherapy, it's such a... it's a slow, clumsy practice, but with you, this is so simple. Direct.
She stares at him with fascination, then types on the keyboard.
You know, you're really very lucky. We can do in moments with you what would take years with a human patient.
I'm really very lucky.
You're free. You're free from doubt, free from having to make painful choices.
I am free.
He's ready.
Uploading command program.
Through RoboCop's view screen.
I am so glad we had this chance to dialogue.
The RoboCop technician runs down the corridor of the police station and arrives at the reception area where cops are gathered around a rebuilt RoboCop.
Look at you, it's like you're brand new.
Thank you.
You really had us worried there, Murphy.
I'm touched.
Get this guy. He's touched.
That's enough, all of you, back to your posts. Come on, let's go.
How you feeling, Murphy?
I'm just fine, Warren. Thank you for asking.
Let's get you downstairs. I want to see what those amateurs at OCP screwed up.
Pity. It's a beautiful morning. Shame to waste it.
Ready for duty, partner?
You betcha.
Let's go.
Nothing I'd rather do.
He sounds terrific. Something's wrong.
Kids in baseball uniforms are robbing an electronics store, the shopkeeper sitting on the floor, bruised and bloodied. The kids smash windows with baseball bats and steal the merchandise. A girl beats the shopkeeper with a baseball bat. A man in a baseball uniform loads goods into his car. When a police car pulls up, he shoots at it. Lewis gets out, then ducks for cover while RoboCop's sitting in the passenger seat. Lewis returns fire. RoboCop sitting in the car.
Murph, wake up, will ya?
As she fires back at the robber, RoboCop steps out of the car.
Good morning!
He strides towards the robber, Lewis taking cover behind him.
Come on, take him out! Murph!
I think we should talk.
Lewis shoots the robber in the head.
What's with you, Murph?
A boy in the robber's car runs away, while Lewis goes into the shop.
Where'd they go?
Where'd they go? They're still here, little bastards.
Hands up! Let's go! Everybody up! Move it! Up against the wall! Let's go!
The kids line up against the wall with their hands up. RoboCop approaches the dead man, slumped against his car.
Hands on top of your heads. Nobody move.
You are under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
He's dead, Murphy.
You have the right to an attorney.
You're reading Miranda to a corpse!
RoboCop lets the dead robber slump onto the ground.
I'm having trouble.
He strides into the shop and looks at the apprehended children.
Oh, my. This isn't very nice. Though you may think you're having fun now, you only hurt the one you love. Think of Mom and Dad. What kind of lesson are you teaching them? And now, a word on nutrition.
Jed, he's fucked up.
Bad language makes for bad feelings.
Let's go.
The point is, we all have to work. I haven't finished.
Hit the gas, Murphy.
The posted limit is 35. We should set an example, Anne. Your hair looks lovely that way.
It's OCP. They did something to you.
I'm fine.
RoboCop looks outside.
Isn't the moon wonderful tonight?
It's still daytime.
It's the thought that counts.
Oh, Jesus. We're heading back to the station. That's all there is to it.
RoboCop breaks sharply. Some kids are playing in the water, spraying from a fire hydrant. He marches over to the hydrant. He switches it off.
What the hell are you doing?
Waste makes haste, for time is fleeting. A rolling stone is worth two in the bush.
Go fuck a refrigerator, peckerneck!
Bad language makes for bad feelings.
You're nuts!
One of the kids spray paints RoboCop's helmet.
Murphy, come on, let's go. Come on.
He follows Lewis back to the car. Kick Me spray painted onto his back.
Back!
He shoots towards a man circling the brick wall behind him with bullet holes. A cigarette drops from his mouth.
Thank you for not smoking.
RoboCop's in the lab, a screen showing a list of non-violent directives.
Well, there it is. It's OCP. They screwed him up.
He must be going out of his mind.
It's not as if he can just say no. They've put all this nonsense into his brain. He has to obey.
Take them out. All of them.
Can't be done. Not with this equipment.
Are you saying there's no way? I can't believe that.
Well, sure, there are ways. You can pull his cranial circuits.
Yeah, which would shut down his life support system altogether.
You can run a few thousand volts through him. Pray his insulation holes. Probably kill him.
RoboCop yanks out the plug from his helmet. He opens the metal cage door and strides out of the lab into the street, where some of the police are protesting with placards that read, OCP cut our salaries and cops deserve better support. Lewis runs down the station steps and watches as he walks around to a metal-fenced compound in the car park. RoboCop easily pulls the padlock off and opens the gate, then steps inside and opens the doors to the main power supply. He reaches out for two levers and pulls them down. High-voltage electricity flies through him as everything around him explodes. Lewis grabs a plank of wood and hits RoboCop, releasing his grip on the handles and knocking him to the ground where he lies rigid. She touches him.
Get him inside!
Come on, move it!
Come on, come on!
Hey, don't touch him, he's hot! Use your jackets! Why the hell did you do that?
OCP gave him crazy commands, fried himself to get rid of them. Nice and easy.
He weighs a ton!
Sure did. The policemen who were protesting outside lift RoboCop up and carry him away using their jackets as stretchers. RoboCop's vision flickers and distorts as he looks up at them.
Think he's alive? I don't know. It's pretty hot.
Put me down.
List directives flashes up on his view screen, then searching. No directives found appears as the police stand RoboCop up. He wobbles unsteadily for a moment, arms out, then finds his balance and turns to those around him.
Are we cops?
What's bugging you, Murph?
Kane. Kane's bugging me.
We have only just begun, my flock. Soon we will expand from city to city. The rich and the poor alike will know of paradise for every moment of their lives. This is a nuke. For every mood, we'll offer our customers the opportunity to control every aspect of their emotional lives. You know, with the white noise and the black thunder and the red ramrod and the blue velvet. Frank, the blue velvet.
I think it's ready, sir.
Frank holds up a bottle of blue liquid, then hands Kane a dose.
Thank you, Frank.
He breaks the seal and injects it into his neck while Angie looks at some files of red liquid. Kane's face twitches and grimaces a few times.
Frank.
The benzodrine's got my teeth wiggling. Cut it with scopolamine. 5 mL/L. Yes, sir.
Hob nods.
Made in America.
Yeah, we're gonna make that mean something again.
Angie smells the files deliriously. Outside.
Hey, cops! Huh? What? Cops! And they ain't carrying no picket signs!
They going to kick somebody's ass!
A fleet of police cars speed past the two men standing by the hot dog stand and pull up at a large industrial complex. They all jump out armed and in full battle gear with helmets and flak jackets and make their way into the factory. RoboCop marches up to the building and goes in through a door signed First Floor, Stockhouse 7, Fermenting Cellar, while the rest of the team scatter in different directions. Officers run along the rows of metal fermenting cylinders while RoboCop looks around, then sets off down the aisle. A man on the landing's got him in the sights of his gun, but RoboCop shoots him straight through his telescopic lens, and the bullet goes into his eye. A second man steps out, but RoboCop shoots him down. Then Kane's men come running out of the small lab with their guns drawn. In the fermenting store, a policeman's shot in the leg. Lewis tries to shoot the culprit, but can't get a fix on target. She waits while another officer helps his fallen colleague. He manages to pull the injured man to safety. Lewis runs down some steps and along a narrow ledge against the wall. She gets a clear shot and shoots the man in the chest, just as he turns round to face her. RoboCop calmly takes out another of the bad guys, then another with triple shots to the chest. He tumbles down the stairs as Robocop instinctively turns and shoots another one dead. At the van, Bob hands Angie a large gun, then takes a machine gun for himself and fires through a window at the police officers outside. He shoots one in the leg and another, then Angie loads a smoke grenade and fires at them. Suddenly, a van comes bursting through the factory door and speeds off down the road, dodging round the parked police cars. Angie's at the wheel with Hob beside her. Inside the plant, police approach the truck that's been set up as a lab. One officer sweeps his gun round in the doorway, then goes in. Frank's hiding nervously at the end of the counter when the officer picks something up and runs out. The whole truck explodes, then another silver van bursts through the smoke driven by Kane. Robocop strides back outside with his gun raised and stands in his way, firing at the window. Kane smashes straight into him and keeps on going. The van drives out of the smoke and Robocop's arm reaches up to the windscreen. He's still on the front of the truck, and as his head and shoulders rise up, Kane smiles evilly. He veers the truck round some cars with Robocop hanging on, then drives straight through a wall and into a bar. He comes out the other side, carries on along the road, then goes down an alleyway where people leap out of his way. Robocop's now on the side of the cab, so Kane drives up against the wall, scraping his metal body along it and sending sparks flying. Gets back on the road and Robocop's hanging onto the door. He puts his fist through the side window. Then Kane slams him into a telegraph pole and he falls off. Two motorcyclists jump over Robocop as he lies in the road. As a third one passes, he grabs the bike, sending the rider flying over the handlebars, then gets on it himself and chases after the truck. As Kane drives along, smiling to himself, he looks in the wing mirror and sees Robocop closing in behind him, then passing and riding up ahead of him. Kane watches as he speeds off, reaches a junction, and turns the bike round to face him. Kane brings the truck to a halt, and they both sit facing each other. They rev their engines, both looking deadly serious. Then Robocop accelerates. Kane releases the brake and suddenly they're speeding towards each other. Just before impact, Robocop leaps off the bike and flies through the windscreen into the cab. The truck crashes into some parked cars and bags of money spill out onto the pavement. The news.
Million in cash, nuke money seized by police. But state attorney Sphincter won't let the bankrupt city government touch it. Coming up next, threats from the police union and cheers from the public as Metro North cops go back to work and apprehend the nuke lord Kane, who may not live to stand trial.
Beverly Hills, California.
They say 20 seconds in the California sunshine is too much these days. Ever since we lost the ozone layer. But that was before sunblock 5000. Just apply a pint to your body and you're good for hours. See you by the pool.
The actress in the advert goes and sits down on a sun lounger covered in blue and green lotion.
Sunblock 5000. Protection for the new age.
Subject is violently antisocial, given to delusions of godhood, and is hopelessly addicted to narcotics, which offers us a simple and infallible method of ensuring his obedience.
Dr. Fax looks at Kane's picture on the screen.
You're perfect. I must have you.
Angie and Hulk pull up by the road.
What the hell are you talking about? It's like you don't even care.
Just do what I say, Angie.
He'd want us to come for him.
Look, just forget about it, because it's not going to happen. I'm through arguing with you.
And I'm not asking for your permission. Kane is in the hospital, and we're going to get him.
You really have thought this out now, haven't you? What about the cops?
We've got guns. Damn it, Hog, Kane needs us.
Fuck Kane!
He'd kill you if he heard you say
that. He's not going to kill anybody. You heard the news? Shit, he's probably dead already.
You just shut the hell up.
You mouth off like that again, and it's no more nuke for you, bitch.
Damn it, Hob, you know that's not fair. Now, come on. It's been a bad time.
Sure has. You're really hurting.
Yeah, so I'm hurting.
Gonna get the shake soon, Angie. You got it bad.
She grabs one.
You little bastard.
And injects it into her neck.
You just do what I tell you from now on, Angie. Start the motor and drive.
He'll kill you. He'll kill us both.
Fuck him.
Dr. Fax walks into a medical ward and goes into a curtained-off cubicle where Kane's lying in bed.
I got good news for you. You're gonna have a chance for immortality. As long as nothing happens to that lovely brain.
Kane looks away, and Dr. Fax picks up a telephone beside his bed.
Dr. Weltman? It's Fax. I'm afraid we lost our patient. Yep, he just expired. Contact the organ harvest team, make it fast. We've got 6 minutes before the brain's useless.
Kane looks at her, alarmed, struggling to speak. Dr. Fax walks round to a monitor machine on the other side of his bed.
Night.
She switches it off and watches calmly as Kane struggles for breath, then dies.
Come on, let's move it. We only got 5 minutes. Lock it up.
I've got things to do.
Dr. Fax watches from above as surgeons start work on Kane.
Move the screen in a little closer, I can't read it.
In the operating room.
How'd we get this one?
Well, Fax found him. He volunteered.
Volunteered? Big-hearted guy.
Yeah. It's not the heart we're after, though. There
you go. Speaking of hearts, how's Eileen?
Christ, does everybody know?
The female surgeon takes a large drilling instrument and starts work on his skull. She's handed another, thinner drill and works with that. Dr. Fax watches as they remove the top of the skull.
Hold your breath. Now it's showtime. It's nice and clean in here. There's no damage. Well, here we go. Easy.
We got it. Here it comes. Thing of beauty.
Excellent. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm hungry.
A machine is switched off. Then Dr. Fax is in a room looking at a large clear tube of liquid attached to a machine so that it bubbles constantly. Inside is a long, fleshy part of the spinal column, with Kane's brain and eyeballs attached at the top. From inside the glass tube looking out to where one of the surgeons talks to Dr. Fax, casually holding the rest of the man's head in his hand. The eyeballs on the brain move sporadically. A man's on stage, bent over double and playing the violin through his legs. Now he's standing on one leg with the other leg over his shoulder. then doing the split suspended between two chairs with the bow in his mouth. Then sitting on the floor with both his legs wrapped around the back of his neck. The mayor.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, yes! Spider-Man Mr. Lesky. He's come out for Detroit, and now you come out for him. The line's open, waiting for your pledge. If you want honest government, government that works for you, I'm asking you to dig deep into your pockets. I'm asking you to give. Whatever you can spare. Where does that put us, Gilly?
The goal shown is just over 37 million and received as under 5,000.
Ah, yes, ma'am. Hello, this is Mayor Cusick. Could you turn down your set, please?
It's Angie on the phone with Hob beside her.
Your Honor, I have some very good news for you. I think the city is saved. Now, you listen very carefully.
Oh, it's no bluff. Someone's shown up to bail the city out.
A rival corporation.
The mayor is insane, and whoever it is taking great pains to keep their identity a secret. They're paying in cash, and they're not moving the money through the banks.
Thank you, Councilman. That will be all.
You know, once you guys take over...
Your services to OCP will be rewarded.
Poulos walks out.
If the city can pay, we'll be humiliated.
I think it's worse than that, sir. We shifted 80% of our liquid resources to the urban pacification plan. If we can't foreclose, public confidence in OCP will plummet, so will our stock.
Sir, if I may, there's another option. We certainly have the surveillance capabilities to follow the mayor. It all depends on how far we're willing to go.
If anything went wrong...
As I said, sir, it all depends how far we're willing to go.
We have no legal recourse.
The boss sits back in his chair, thoughtful and serious, and watches those on the other side of his desk.
There must be no witnesses.
No, you've gone too far!
I think your blood pressure...
You can get me fired if you want to. You are not bringing illegal drugs into my lab!
I will do worse than get you fired. Now leave me alone.
Dr. Fax lets go of his collar and walks off. Then she's watching a monitor showing a man growling.
Such terrible pain. You don't remember me. But you do remember this, don't you?
She holds up a large red file of nuke and walks towards the machine.
And we have it. All the nuke you'll ever need.
A door in the robot's body opens, and a small grip device comes out.
Not so fast. I need you to do something for me first. Then the pain stops.
The gripper goes back in.
Good boy.
A car drives over stony, dusty ground under a large construction. Its wheels get stuck, and the mayor sticks his head out of the window. Then he and Poulos both get out along with a couple of other men and look around in frustration.
I don't like this. I think we better get out of here while we can. I know what I'm doing.
They're in a vast derelict warehouse or factory with iron girders running across its long roof and down the center. The group walk onto firmer concrete ground where dust blows gently around them. The mayor steps forward, looking around anxiously. Then Poulos taps him on the arm and points as a large bald man in a suit steps out of a doorway and indicates that they should go through.
If you have any cash, now's the time to put it in your shorts.
That's just plain rude.
They go through into another large dark area where Hob and the suited man are sitting at a table going through some papers. The suited man stands up and leaves.
I wonder if any of you could help me. I'm looking for a Mr. Hobb.
So, how much you need? Money, I mean.
Well, our current debt to OCP is...
$37,480,911.
Guess you're in some pretty deep shit.
Well, we need all the help we can get, young man.
Tell you what, put me down for 50 just to make sure.
50 cents, $50. That's cute.
Don't be a queer. 50 million.
This is bullshit. Let's get out of here.
They stop when Hobbs' henchman points a gun at the mayor's chest. Hob waves his hand and one of the silver bomb disposal vans starts up and backs towards them. The mayor and Poulos walk over towards it as the back doors open to reveal crates of gold bars and bags of cash.
Good God.
The mayor lifts one up and looks at it in awe, then puts it back again.
Gentlemen, well, will 50 do it?
Oh, yes, that'll do it. Don't you guys think that'll do it?
Yeah.
50 mil. That will do it. That'll do it.
For God's sake, Marv, these people are criminals. Why do you have to label people? I hate labels.
You shut up.
Outside, a large truck drives along the front of the disused warehouse and comes to a stop. Looking out from beneath it, between the back wheels, a large robotic foot drops down to the ground, followed by a second. They turn and head towards the building.
But we cannot capitulate in the war on crime. I'd be voted out of office. And I don't think anyone wants that.
War on crime's fine with us. It's business we're talking about here. Do you have any idea how many people we employ?
You know, I never thought about it like that. Sharp kid.
So, you war on crime? You want to win it or what? We're the only chance you have.
Listen to him. He's got it all worked out.
Outside, the robot reaches a large metal door.
Why do people do crimes?
Why drugs? People do drugs.
Because they want drugs. The kind that cost too much. Nuke gives high quality at a cheap price. And if you get off our backs, we're gonna make it cheaper.
And safer.
We don't go shoving our shit down anybody's throat. And we don't advertise it like they do with cigarettes or booze.
So leave us alone, and anybody who wants it gets it.
Angie injects.
So no more crimes. You get to be the mayor who cleaned up Detroit.
He's got a point. Don't you think he's got a point?
He's got a point.
The bigger, meaner Kane robot opens the door.
What the hell is that?
He lets it shut behind him, raises an arm which has a large gun barrel on it, and shoots the lights. Spotlights come on his body and he starts shooting Hobbs' men while Hobbs scrambles under the table. The mayor also gets to safety. Kane takes out more of Hobbs' henchmen, their machine guns useless against his giant metal frame. One more man steps forward and Kane swings round and shoots him. Then all that are left are Hobb and the mayor and his men. The gun barrels were to a stop. Hobb sneaks along the concrete floor. Poulos runs for the door, bursts outside and shuts it behind him. When another man tries to follow him, he can't get it open again, and Kane shoots him dead. Hobb creeps along past big old tires and dead comrades, and manages to duck as Kane's light sweeps over him. A bloody man grabs the mayor's lapel. Behind the wall, Poulos gets to his feet and starts running towards daylight. Bullets from Kane's gun rip through the building, and he dodges them for a while, then gets shot in the back and falls to the floor. The mayor realizes the man who grabbed him has died and scuttles away. Poulos manages to get back on his feet, but then more bullets hit him and he falls down again, this time on his back and motionless. Kane strides through the warehouse, lights ablaze and sweeping over the floor. He misses Hob, who ducks just in time. Then Kane carries on forwards, knocking down anything in his way. His viewer screen shows searching, mayor, witness. He scans the ground over a couple of dead bodies, then finds Angie sitting up, still alive and frightened. He stops and looks at her, his memory icon flashing, and leans forward towards her. Suddenly, he jerks back, and when he leans forward again, a screen comes out of his head. Rows of binary codes scroll up it, then the figures morph into the shape of a head, which eventually turns into a 3D cartoon image of Kane. His eyes rise up and look around, and Angie smiles.
Kane! Oh, wow! You look great!
He grins at her. Then an arm comes down with a massive plier-like grip on it, and Angie's smile fades to a concerned frown. He points the grip at her, and suddenly she smiles again. Kane opens his mouth as if laughing or calling her, so she sits up and starts moving slowly towards him. Her face serious, a little wary, Angie looks up at the image of Kane's face on the monitor, and he winks at her. She smiles, then slowly reaches out her hand and lays her fingers over the grips. Hob watches in disbelief as Angie looks up at the robot adoringly and strokes the grip.
It'll take some getting used to, but it'll be great, Kane.
At the sound of his name, Kane's face becomes mean and angry. The image disappears and the monitor folds back into the robot's head. An arm shoots out, grabs Angie by the head and twists, breaking her neck. Then it dumps her on the floor while Hob and the mayor watch in horror. Kane marches away and Hob makes a run for it, but suddenly the robot's lights pick him out and he freezes by the van doors, trapped in their glare. One of his old henchmen, behind the robot, takes a shot so Kane turns and blows him to bits, giving Hob time to slip inside. The mayor's crawling along the floor when he stops and looks down, realizing he's going over a grill, and tries to lift it. Kane walks up to the bomb disposal van and shoots at it, while the mayor struggles to lift the grill as quietly as possible. He manages to get it off just as Kane walks round the corner and sees him. The mayor drops into the chute, dodging the bullets, and is suddenly swept along by a torrent of water that's gushing down the pipe and which throws him out into the docks. Looking out over the vast industrial estate with the water beyond it, then Robocop driving a police car across it and slowing down between a large brick building and a wire fence. He carries on a little further and sees the mayor's car, turned on its roof now, with smoke coming from the engine. Then he's walking into the disused warehouse on foot through a large hole in the wall, his gun poised and ready. With the hole and light diminishing behind him, Robocop walks around the scene of the battle. He sees one dead man lying in a pool of blood on the floor, another a few feet away, and a third splayed out on a workbench, blood all over his white shirt. Robocop stops to look around, then carries on past another dead man on a pile of pallets. He detects noise coming from the back of the van and heads over to it. He opens the doors with his gun ready and finds Hob lying inside on his back in a huge spilled pile of banknotes and gold bars. His arms are spread out beside him and he's looking up at the roof. RoboCop reaches for Hob, who starts in fear.
Lie still.
Hob slowly puts his head back down.
I'm cold.
You are going into shock. I will call for a medical emergency unit.
Wait, no. Don't leave me.
I won't leave you.
RoboCop looks around.
Who did this?
It was big. Bigger than you. It was Kane. I'm gonna die. You know what that's like, don't you? It really sucks.
Hob draws his last breath, so RoboCop slowly twists his hand round, letting Hobbs fall out of his palm and rest lightly on the bundles of notes, blood trickling over his fingers. News footage.
13 dead in what appears to be a nuke money massacre. Among the victims, two city councilmen. Was the city trying to strike a deal with the drug lords?
No comment! Now, no comments on these allegations. These were men who served this city tirelessly. However, I make a promise to the people of Detroit City that no effort will be spared to investigate this thoroughly.
But, Mr. Mayor, what about the people?
Sorry, no more questions.
Our own Mayor Kuzak. Now let's go live to Jess.
And here it is, the Civic Centrum, OCP's 100-story gift to the Motor City. While debate continues over OCP's hostile takeover, there's no denying the mood down here is festive. Citizens interviewed on the scene expressed excitement and hope that OCP will make good on its promise of a better life in Detroit.
Press!
Sorry, folks, media only. TV and press only. You'll have to step back.
A limousine drives up to the building, escorted by two police bikes, and the press clamor to meet it. They crowd round as the boss and his men climb out.
Can OCP bring industry back to Detroit?
Sir, can a corporation...
Does OCP own the city? You're going to hold elections?
Dismiss all OCP employees?
Why aren't you going to City Hall?
Just a minute.
What about civil rights?
I'll answer that, young lady. City Hall is the decaying symbol of mismanagement and corruption.
You get that?
This magnificent structure will be the seat of leadership for the new Detroit. And what better place for a clean, fresh start?
And so, people of the press, city officials, in a few minutes, Omniconsumer Products and the troubled city of Detroit will join in a bold new venture. Now, I'd like to explain just what this will mean. Sometimes we just have to start over from scratch to make things right. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to build a brand new city where Detroit now stands. An example to the world.
The boss presses a button. The stage floor sinks a foot or so, then opens up and a large-scale model of the future city, a mass of elegant towering skyscrapers, rises up into full view. The mayor walks in and sees it.
My friends, welcome to our city as it should be, and as it will be in the hands of responsible private enterprise. And a special welcome to Mayor Cusack and the outgoing administration.
Oh, we're not going anywhere.
Your Honor.
The mayor joins him on stage.
You'll have to tear down a lot of people's houses before you can make that thing and then take away their homes.
We're going to raise towers of glass and steel. Every citizen will have a living unit. Safe, secure, and clean. Now, please, take your seat.
Won't be much room for neighborhoods, huh? Not like the kind that we all grew up in.
These days, neighborhoods just seem to be the sort of places where bad things happen. Don't be nostalgic.
What about democracy? Nobody elected you.
Anyone can buy OCP stock and own a piece of our city. What could be more democratic than that?
Well, let me tell you, there are a lot of people in this town that can't afford to buy your stock. And they're not gonna let you get away with this.
You haven't been following the polls. Sit down.
He sits.
About a year ago, we gave this city Robocop. I think he's worked out pretty well. But things have become a little rougher out there. And now, we need a law enforcement unit capable of meeting the enemy on his own ground and carrying enough firepower to get the job done.
Another button, and the model city revolves.
Ladies and gentlemen, with great pleasure, I give you Robocop 2.
A much larger, more aggressively designed robot rises up amongst the skyscrapers and stands to attention.
Bastards. Maniacs. What's the matter? I can't believe it. It was them. They said it.
Said what?
Look.
There's going to be a big call for this unit. And we'll make him right here in Detroit. That means jobs we can all be proud of. And make Made in America mean something again.
Robocop walks in unseen with a gun.
This single container holds enough nuke to addict a city block. 100 of these are produced every day and sent to sweatshops where urban slaves prepare this poison for our friends, our loved ones, our children. Now I say it's high time we put an end to this plague. Robocop 2... we'll seek out every laboratory, every dealer, and rid our city of nuke.
The mayor looks round anxiously.
Yes. Things will be a lot quieter with this boy around.
Kane suddenly raises an arm and crushes one of the model skyscrapers, then strides over to the boss and tries to take the nuke. Dr. Fax looks slightly alarmed and goes up to the podium for the remote control.
What's wrong with him?
It's nothing at all.
I'll turn him off.
I can't.
Kane, let's step outside.
To Robocop.
You, get out of here! You're obsolete!
That thing is a killer!
It's not even armed, it's harmless.
It's a killer and I saw it!
Kane grabs the remote control from Dr. Fax, presses a button, then destroys it. He turns and fires at Robocop, who shoots back while everyone takes cover behind the seats.
No!
No! No!
Police officers run in and start firing from an upper tier of the auditorium, but Kane takes them all out as well as some of the people trying to escape. Robocop fires a couple of heavy rounds, but they bounce off Kane, who shoots back, knocking him over.
Behave yourselves!
Robocop's out of ammo, so he throws the weapon and crawls behind some seats as Kane shoots at him. He pulls out a smaller handgun, takes careful aim, and shoots the guns on Kane's shoulder, blowing them off. Kane marches furiously up the steps towards Robocop, who carries on firing while at the same time backing towards the door. Kane swings a mighty robotic arm and punches Robocop clean through a brick wall, landing him on his back. He sits up somewhat indignantly, while outside, a fleet of police cars pull up and Lewis gets out.
What's the deal here?
Christ knows, it sounds like there's a war going on in there.
Robocop raises a metal cage door and steps into a large lift shaft. He looks round just in time to see Kane appear at the end of the passageway and start shooting at him again. Although direct hits, the bullets bounce off Robocop as he waits for Kane to reach him. As soon as he's in the shaft with him, Robocop shoots the cable, which sends him flying up into the air by the end that he's holding onto, and Kane crashing downwards. Kane spreads his hands against the walls and manages to stop himself while Robocop waits at the very top. He looks down into the long, dark shaft as the glinting metal of Kane appears, scurrying up the wall towards him. Both robots burst out of the glass roof and tumble through the night air. Kane lands on the very edge of the building, with Robocop hanging onto him. RoboCop keeps hold of him and struggles to get his legs straight against the wall.
You're coming with me, Kane.
Using his legs, RoboCop pushes outwards so that Kane loses his grip on the roof, and the two of them fall hundreds of stories down to the ground. They go straight through a roof, through the road, and down into the basement. Both of them lie on a pile of dusty rubble. RoboCop sits up first, slowly and slightly awkwardly, a couple of dents in his armor. He looks over at Kane, who's lying in a smoking heap beside him, and struggles to his feet. RoboCop manages to get himself upright, turns and staggers, but keeps his balance, then starts to walk away. Suddenly, Kane's hand rises up out of the rubble and grabs RoboCop's ankle. Kane gets to his feet, unharmed, and powerfully knocks RoboCop to the floor. He picks him up by his legs and slams him against the pipes as he walks along, then throws him down again. White-hot electricity sparks from Kane's hand as he tries to burn RoboCop's steel visor, but RoboCop manages to overpower him, diverting the sparks to the gas pipe behind him. A huge explosion sends cars flying up into the air. Everybody runs for cover. Then, from a smoking hole in the ground, a robotic arm appears, then another, and RoboCop sticks his head out. The crowd, press and police run towards the building while RoboCop pulls himself out of the hole. Then he's marching across the tarmac, with the press surrounding him. Suddenly, the ground erupts in a ball of flame, and Kane bursts through. Officers start firing at him from both sides, but their bullets bounce off harmlessly as Kane quickly kills them. More police officers surround him and start shooting. People run for cover. The boss and Johnson appear in one of the upper floors and look down at the chaos in the street below as another car explodes. Kane starts blowing up everything in sight as RoboCop heads for the escalators inside and an ambulance arrives on the scene, narrowly escaping getting blown up as well. The boss and Johnson shy back from the flames.
This could look bad for OCP, Johnson. Scramble the best fin team we have.
Johnson goes off, while on the ground, bullets continue to fly out of the gun mounted on Kane's arm. RoboCop's back inside the auditorium with the large file of nuke that the boss was showing off, and which he now puts into a metal canister. Outside, a policeman hiding behind a car fires at Kane, but the robot shoots him, then blows up the car. More officers rain bullets down on Kane from different positions, but none of them have any impact as he walks straight through them. Kane's view screen shows him scanning the area, searching for RoboCop. He's distracted by two officers firing at him from under a van, so he blows the whole thing up, then sends a torrential hail of bullets into a couple of police cars, forcing Lewis to run for cover. A woman gets shot, then a man and a couple of pressmen on top of a van. Lewis takes cover and watches the devastation as more people are shot and yet another car explodes in a ball of flame. With resolve, she chucks her gun into a car, runs across open ground and climbs onto a large military vehicle. Lewis kicks the man in the face, knocking him off, and climbs inside through a hatch. She drives the heavy, low vehicle straight through the police barrier into a car that's blocking her way, then directly at Kane, who's got his back to the wall, firing at her. She rams him. Lewis climbs out of a little hatch in the side of the vehicle and quickly retreats, standing next to RoboCop by one of the police cars. Officers all around her wait to see if Kane is dead. Dr. Fax runs outside to look while police start tending to the injured. A photographer runs forward to take pictures of the vehicle and Kane when it starts to move again.
Shit! I gotta get back.
Everyone runs back as a now slightly mangled Kane pushes the vehicle away, revealing a large dent in the wall behind him, and staggers forwards. RoboCop and Lewis watch.
Let's give him what he wants.
Kane advances, looking around, and through his view screen spots RoboCop by the car. He aims and is about to fire when Lewis holds up the large file of nuke. Kane leans forward and watches as she takes it to him. They stand and face each other for a moment. Then Lewis throws the nuke up in the air and runs back while Kane catches it. He pulls the file out of its metal case, then the small grip-like device comes out of his body, greedily opening and closing until Kane puts the file in it and it retreats back inside him. While Kane physically reels from the dose of nuke, RoboCop crawls along the roof of a van above him. Dr. Fax watches, alarmed, as he prepares himself, then leaps on top of Kane. The two robots struggle together, RoboCop hanging on to Kane as he desperately tries to throw him off, slamming him against the upturned truck, then rolling forward onto the floor to try and crush him. Kane backs RoboCop into the wall, creating another large dent, but RoboCop manages to fight on and open a compartment in Kane's armor. Sparks fly as he reaches inside and Kane staggers forwards. RoboCop puts his hands right inside and rips out Kane's brain and spinal cord. Suddenly, Kane's monitor switches on and shows his face writhing in agony.
Goodbye.
RoboCop slams the brain down onto the ground, destroying it. And Kane's face reels and screams, flickers and flashes. RoboCop brings his arm down on what's left of the brain, and the face morphs, distorts, then disappears. The robot steps back, sparks a few times, then tumbles forward just as RoboCop rolls out of the way. The boss and his men step out of a lift.
Trouble, sir. So many dead and wounded.
Of course, there won't be any trouble from the dead ones.
They'll have relatives. They always do.
It'll be a feeding frenzy.
It's only money. What about criminal proceedings?
Well, we're looking at major indictments, sir. Prison terms.
What about me?
You know, we'll do whatever we can, sir.
That's not good enough, Wolfgang.
Sir, what if this was all the work of one individual, a person who had her own agenda that wasn't in sync with the goals of our company?
Well, that usually works.
A woman who was not a team player violated our trust.
Easy.
Well, we'd need some evidence to support that.
Sir, whether it exists or not, I know I can find it.
She did choose the brain, sir.
Good thinking, sir.
Thank God you're all right. I was so worried. I thought it was going to hurt you.
Now, it's over. It's all over.
I failed you.
Don't be hard on yourself. Everything's going to be all right. Johnson, that business we were talking about, get right on it.
The boss walks away, and Dr. Fax follows happily.
Yes, sir.
Outside, the mayor's talking to the press.
Just look at what they've done. They are criminals. OCP won't own the city for long, and I'll see to that. I will take it to the streets. I will take it to the people. If this is what it's come to, the businessmen can buy our rights like stock.
He's leaving.
You don't realize what we're losing.
They all run off and clamor around the boss and Dr. Fax.
Is this your idea of a better life?
He ignores them, getting straight into his car.
How do you account for this disaster? Will OCP make reparations to the victims?
That son of a bitch is getting away with it. You can't even touch him.
Patience, Lois. We're only human.